We're on the book of Habakkuk today. I don't know about y'all how life is going. Is everything going good for y'all? Huh? Yes, no, in between. You know, whenever life takes a turn, you know, and sometimes it does, not anything of our own doing, you know, whether it's football season, your favorite team, school, business, family, you know, finances, health, you know, there's ways we react, you know, and I saw that, you know, and I, this morning, you know, I asked, and I don't remember how long, what's his name, Coach Kelly, that's with the LSU football coach, Brian Kelly, you know, when they hired him from Notre Dame, you know, people were like, yeah, we got somebody. You know, and I don't remember what that first year was like, but the second year, when they didn't go undefeated, people were already jumping off the bandwagon. You know, they were like, oh my gosh, you know, and we're paying them millions. You know, so, you know, it's when things take a turn, you know, it's real easy to become cynical, you know, and start criticizing everything, you know, that's, you know, to just, you know, just be cynical, you know, and just to always look for the bad instead of the good. You know, and the next thing, you know, when things are in decline, when life takes a turn for the worst, you know, we become carnal. You know, carnal is an old church word. You know, and what it means is we start looking for the bad. You know, instead of looking for the light, we look for the bad, you know, but when things get dark and we turn carnal, what it means is we start operating in the dark. We just put night vision goggles on, you know, and we learn to adapt to the dark. Instead of being the light in the dark, we become part of the darkness. That we, you know, we're part of the problem and not the solution. Then the other thing that we do at times when life takes a change, we turn to me-ism. Let me look out for me. I'm not concerned about anybody else. Just look out for me. You know, I'm going to, you know, protect me. I'm going to protect my family. You know, and for Habakkuk, you know, he could have done that. You know, now God speaking to Habakkuk, you know, through Habakkuk to the people, you know, God said, I'm going to shift and shake Jerusalem. You know, the Babylonians are coming. Nebuchadnezzar's coming. I'm going to shift that. They need to wake up. You know, and Habakkuk, you know, could have jumped off the bandwagon. You know, he could have become cynical. He could have become me-ism and said, hey, you know, I got the insider information. You know, I'm going to take my family, pile them into the SUV, you know, and to the hills I go. You know, sleeping bags, you know, we're all set. Looking out for number one. But Habakkuk didn't do that. What did Habakkuk do? He got down on his knees. I want to say that. He got down on his knees and he prayed. He prayed a revival prayer. You know, and I think that's what God wants each and every one of us to do, to pray, and never stop praying. You know, Habakkuk, in that first verse, you know, he prayed that revival prayer, you know, 31 words. Lord, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Remember them in our day and our time. Make them known in wrath. Remember mercy. Habakkuk did what God wants each and every one of us, but each and every person to do, to stand in the gap, to be a man, to be a woman in the gap, and to pray that you see something going on over here and you run to that and help. But don't retreat. to be in the gap and to pray. That God wants to wake us up. You know, we said, you know, Wednesday night at Bible study, sometimes we need to be hit upside the head with that 2x4 to wake us up. That God had been trying to wake the people of Israel up, and they wouldn't wake up. So God telling Habakkuk, I'm going to shift and shake them. Not because I'm an evil God, but because they need to wake up. What was at the heart of Habakkuk's prayer? God, you can do it again. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God can do it again? That we need an awakening? We need a movement? We're going to stand here in the middle and ask God again today and again and again and again. I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day and our time. Make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. Whenever you look at the great awakenings of history, the great awakenings of the early church, what do you find? You find a group of men or a group of women, both. But if you sift down through all of that, where it started, one man, one woman, sitting down and saying, let it begin here. You know, and I started to do that this morning. You know, get a piece of chalk, people. Get a piece of chalk. Go someplace that you know you're not going to be disturbed. And if you're married, I know that's hard. Either your husband or your wife, I know, is going to come in and say, what are you doing in there? But you go someplace you know you're not going to be disturbed. You sit on the floor with that piece of chalk. You draw a circle around yourself. Now, I didn't bring one with me, but I told them this morning, okay, I know some people, if you get on the floor, you're not going to be able to get up. So you take a chair and you sit on your chair. Lord, we need a revival. Let it start in this circle. There, it has to start there. Within me, God, touch me. Make me whole. Revive me. And what happens when that happens? You feel it. You know it. When the Holy Spirit comes in you, things change. And if they don't change, you need to go back into that circle and pray that prayer again. But you know, at times, we need to pray that prayer every day. Revive me today, Lord. Yesterday was forgotten. Revive me today. Touch me, heal me, make me whole. Forgive me. And if you can't do that, then you need to go back into that circle and pray that prayer again. Because what? When that Spirit comes to live, when you pray that prayer and your life changes, your life does change. And if it hasn't changed, if things stay the same, then you need to go pray that prayer again and keep praying it. And Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians that it should be seen. What? In the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, kindness, mercy. You know, and I've told you all this again and again. It's hard to show love, especially as you're driving. Huh, Alexa? You know, the other day I was in Monroe. You know, and thank goodness it wasn't me. I was at a red light, and there was a car next to me getting ready to turn left. Their light turned green. Then all of a sudden, a car coming the other way just blew their red light bigger than you know what. I mean, if that car, you know, I've learned that, yeah, when your light turns green, pause. Because there's always some idiot. I'm not going to name any names, that's trying in a hurry that just does not care. Or are you in too much of a hurry to sit down in a chair in that circle, draw a circle around you with a piece of chalk, and say, God, let that revival start here in this circle. You know, I was thinking about this morning. You know, does anybody know, Miss Jamie, do you know the song, Draw the Circle Wider? No? Oh, my gosh, Miss Jamie. Nobody this morning knew it either. No, has nobody ever heard of Draw the Circle Wider? Huh? I don't know it. But I've heard it. It is a good song. Okay, you're in your circle. Let the revival start here. And then sing, Draw the Circle Wider. You know, I got to look up that song. I just thought about it this morning. You know, I meant to look it up. You know, and I ran out of time. You know, but draw your circle wider to bring more people in to revival. And it starts with you. It starts with us. Each and every one of us. To not get sick, cynical. You know, and it's, you know, Amanda asked me the other day, you know, Aaron, can you still see good in the dark? You know, what she was asking was, you know, I got so used to working at night, you know, is that, you know, I love working at night, you know, especially, you know, in the darkness, you know, searching buildings and stuff. You know, my eyes adapted to the dark, but I knew I always had a flashlight. If I needed to light something up, if I needed to hit somebody over the head, that flashlight was handy. I had a light to shine in the darkness. When it gets dark, what are we to do? We are to shine in the darkness, to be that light. If salt has lost its saltiness, what good is it? To be thrown out. If you lost your light, what good are you? To go back into the circle and pray, Lord, let it start here. And what's the other thing that Paul said? Put on what?
The whole armor.
The armor of God. Stand in the gap. The helmet, the breastplate, you know, the belt, the sword, the shin guards, everything. The shoes, and what? The sword, the word of God. Put on the armor of God. And stand in the gap. And pray. To be that man, that woman that stands in the gap and prays. There's nothing more powerful than what? A man and woman coming together, a family coming together and praying together to pray that prayer. Here we are in the circle together. Let the revival start here. Here, with each and every one of us.
You're preaching my sermon again this morning.
So the revival starts here and reaches out beyond us. Ravel, all of Richland Parish, Washita Parish, Monroe, all of Monroe, our state, our community. Country, we need revival. And one more time, where does it start? Right here. To stand in the gap. Amen. Let us pray. Father, Lord God, we thank you. We thank you, Father, Lord Jesus, for being with us this day. And Lord God, we pray we are standing in the gap and start the revival in our circle. But Lord God, more than that, Father, Lord Jesus, may we widen our circle to include those around us. In your Son's holy name, amen.